Right, so I didn't want to spend a ton of time on this.
Sure, because this is not Mike watches a movie, you know.
Yeah, we're doing that next week.
Next week.
So I need to watch a movie this week. And and of course, you did a great episode of The Incomparable that I'm about halfway through, which is a lot of fun. Andy isn't totally breaking my heart yet.
No.
He's kind of slightly breaking it.
Andy's not feeling the magic of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's true. But I think him not absolutely loving it and questioning. I think Andy Anako has a lot of existential thoughts about, like, you know, is this a movie or is it part of a franchise? Did we get what we, you know, did we get what we paid for versus could they have been a little more, you know, ambitious and in certain ways? And I like being challenged by Andy. He didn't sort of like hijack the podcast where we all end up just kind of pelting him with questions, which is sort of what happened with the first Avengers episode we did. But you know, I think Andy raises a lot of valid points. What I said on the podcast about that we did yesterday about Age of Ultron is it's kind of like not a movie. It's like something new. This is a new, these franchise continuing story feature films, they have to be feature films because they need to charge people a lot of money. They need to earn $1 billion to pay for these giants, all these special effects and the actors and all that. But they're kind of not movies, right? They're installments in a collection of things. It's not a TV series quite, but it's not just a movie either. Like, I remember when I saw the sixth Harry Potter movie, I very much had the reaction like, they should have put a previously on Harry Potter at the beginning, because really what I was watching was 2.5 hours of the latest episode of an annual released television series that goes to theaters, but is much more like a television series. It's recurring characters. We see them again. It's the next year. What's the next story? There's a story arc, and then there's an individual plot in the movie, but there's a bigger story arc. And the Marvel movies are like that. I feel like the Star Wars movies are probably going to be like that too. DC wants to do it with their superhero movies. So I thought Andy asked some interesting, challenging questions about like the nature of what are you trying to get out of this thing? And is this a movie you enjoy or is it kind of part of a larger thing? And yeah, he totally isn't under the spell of it. But at the same time, he thought it was better than the last one and saw the positive as well as the negative in it. And I thought it was a good conversation to have, because these are not like, you know, movies as we used to think of them. These are franchise installments or something. That all said, I had a great time. So I really liked it. Did you like it?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I got to see it like 10 days ago because it was released early in the UK. So the premiere was here. And my understanding was the government gave like a ton of money to Disney. It's like in tax breaks and stuff. They shot a lot of it here. And it's a thing that's happening more and more, especially with the Marvel movies. Many of the Marvel movies, including the last Iron Man movie, were released earlier by 2 weeks nearly in the UK. Which is great for me, because we very rarely... Disney is typically very bad with this, with their animation. They release things here like a month, 2 months, 3 months late. It's really weird. And it was one movie, I can't remember which one it was, one of the Pixar movies, where it was getting ready to be released on video in the US before it came out here. So, you know, it can suck, and I don't really understand why, but we got it a bit early, which is great. And I think the thing that I've heard so far that I didn't agree with, especially with Andy and I think a couple other people on the panel, was the action scenes. I loved every single one of them. The fight scenes that were confusing, I loved them because they were confusing, because I feel like they were meant to be. They were meant to just be chaos. Like,
you get
just
fog
complete
of war, crazy stuff is happening.
Yeah, like the first one, like the first scene, like
the assault on the castle-y thing.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like, for me, it was like, this is all crazy. No one really knows what's going on, because the Avengers felt kind of ambushed in that scenario for the amount of people that were there, right? And then it was kind of just like, here is a bunch of superheroes like smashing into stuff like for a bit. And I feel like it was kind of like, let's get this one out of the way, because the other ones later have more meaning to them.
Yeah.
And it was kind of just...
I mean, not to get all meta on it, but, you know, you could argue... I feel like sometimes I was arguing this last night to not a lot of reaction, is the action is there because people want action, and the action was great, and there are those moments that look like comic book panels, and although I have some problems with the opening, the great thing about the opening is it establishes the characters. That they're fighting kind of is beside the point. Character-wise, plot-wise, it opens the movie with a bang, but that's also, you know, what's, I think, the most important thing in that entire 20 minutes is the dialogue. It's the interactions, it's the humor and the interactions between the characters. It's like the explosions make it all go down better. But, you know, what we're really doing is like checking in with your friends that you haven't seen for a while. And what are they up to? Oh, they're assaulting a castle. Tell me more, right?
And there were also some parts there that were set up for the rest of the movie. Like Captain America and Thor are now like a duo. That wasn't in any other movie. But now they're like, they use each other to make their own attacks more, they hit harder, right?
Yeah, so I love hitting the hammer with the, or hitting, using the hammer to hit the shield is a pretty awesome move.
There was a bunch of that. And just in general, there was a lot more, especially in the action scenes, interplay between the characters, which shows them as a team. And I really loved all of that.
That's the whole point of the movie is, I mean, Serenity on The Incomparable called it a capstone of the, you see everybody in their own movies, and then this is where you get them together. And the whole point is, yes, it is overstuffed, but the whole point is you get to see them together. That's why you do a team up. It's like, you know, hey, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Black Widow, they're all talking to each other, and the Hulk, and they're all, you know, we don't get to see that when they're off in other movies, but here they're all together bouncing off each other, and that's fun.
I was very happy for the character development in general.
Yeah.
Hawkeye's character development, like that whole arc of like, he seems to be crazy again. Oh, it seems like he's working for the other side, right? There's that whole like, you know, I don't know if you caught that, but like when he's on the phone and he's saying like, yes, mama, and they work for you. And I was like, ooh, Hydra. And then it was like, oh no, wait, family on a farm. And it's like, what? Is this? And I love when they go to the farm. I don't know if, I hope other people will get this reference. It reminded me of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie when they go to like the super sad house. Do you remember that? It's like one of the Turtles movies, and they go to like this weird house in the country, and they hang out for a few days, and everyone's sad.
I know nothing about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I totally get it. It's your defeated heroes have to like lick their wounds and rededicate themselves to. I love scenes like that in these kinds of movies where they have to, you know, talk. They have to talk amongst themselves, and it's good for character moments. And then they rededicate themselves, and then they go back out and fight the bad guy again. It's good stuff. And I thought they did a really great job of it. And in the Hawkeye's secret farm with his secret wife, who is Linda Cardellini from Freaks and Geeks. And I had that moment of like, has it been that long that now she plays a mom? She was a high school student just like the other day on Freaks and Geeks, and now she's Hawkeye's wife. But I thought she was great. That's a hard part to just be. Well, you're going to be the wife and mom of a superhero, and you know. But they did some good casting, and she was really great.
And that was just all very unexpected, and I was very, very happy to have all of that. I see the criticism, but I liked the Black Widow's increased storyline as well. Mm-hmm. I understand why it upsets people, and I get it about it being that she's in love with someone, but it was kind of the same for Bruce Banner as well. Like, if you look at Mark Ruffalo's character, like Mark Ruffalo has had the least amount of time in the movies, potentially.
Exactly. He has absolutely had the least amount. He's only in the other Avengers movie. That's it.
I don't know. I'd really like to see what Marvel and Disney's take on if the previous Hulk movies are canon or not.
Well, so the Ang Lee one isn't, but the Edward Norton one is.
Okay.
And that's the one that's got Tony Stark having a drink with the general in the, like, one scene to make it kind of like tied in, but not. But you know, I kind of want a Hulk and Black Widow movie now.
Yes,
because if they're afraid of doing a Hulk movie, and Black Widow's in all the S.H.I.E.L.D. movies, I mean, you could argue that although she hasn't been a title character, she is super important in Winter Soldier. She is a key to that yep. film.
She is but as important in Winter Soldier as Captain America is.
I think that's right. I mean, it's like her and Nick Fury and Captain America is what that movie is.
It's like a buddy cop movie, though.
It is. It is. We're down at the police station, except it's super. It's a super police station.
Super police. Corrupt Nazi police.
So you're right. I mean, we need to be on guard on the trope of like, oh, sure, the only woman in the Avengers and she's got a love interest. But at the same time, the Hulk, you know, Bruce Banner, that is it's happening to both of them. They also it's not a relationship from the comic. So I feel like it's also a reaction to how great they were together in the first Avengers movie, which they were, and saying, well, that's really interesting. And I think it does. The thing is, yeah, we can talk about, you know, does this put her in a girlfriend context? And that can be an issue. But I love that it tells us some things about her character. I think I really enjoyed the scene where she says, everybody I know wants to kill people. I'm surrounded. Everybody I know is in the business of killing and hurting people and breaking things. And you are the only person I know who doesn't want to do it, who's fighting with everything they've got to not kill people. And I like that because that's like, that's what's interesting about Banner, right? Is he is as reluctant as you can get. And so she's, the fact that she's attracted to that because he's the he's the resistance. Also that she's sort of like the Hulk Whisperer now is also kind of cool because we remember that she was really terrified of the Hulk in the first Avengers movie on the helicarrier. That's kind of a cool little bit too. So I thought that was fun. I do think you got to be on guard, but I think generally, I think Joss Whedon did a good job making Black Widow have more depth and be a more interesting character. And so I thought that was good.
I did take from it as well that she was the one with the control in the relationship, which was a different kind of take, you know, especially if you're saying, like, I get, like, the idea of the girlfriend complex, but I would argue that potentially Bruce Banner fills that role because he is, like, she has actual control over him. And if you were looking at it, like, the way that those things are usually played out, it maybe was slightly flipped. At least that was the way that I took from it. Because she actually has control over him by, you know, and not only just his emotions, but she's the only one that can control the Hulk, which is very interesting as a thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I liked all that stuff. What else? What else you got? This is, you know, I talked about it for an hour and a half yesterday. So
I really liked and saw the idea of let's not kill everyone. I liked that. I feel like that they didn't take it too far, in my opinion. Like the idea of searching, scanning buildings, checking for civilians. Like I appreciated that and liked that. And felt that they did a really good job with that. I genuinely believe, though, that, like, raising that town above the rest of the Earth was, like, a metaphor of all of that kind of stuff. Like, this is an isolated area. And I really loved Ren's idea of something incomparable, that it was everybody was reacting that way because of PTSD from New York. Didn't think of it that way. Thought that was really smart.
I agree. The idea that they went through a situation where there was this horrible destruction and that they were trying not to. And although I do agree that, you know, you can read it as a commentary on, like, Man of Steel.
Yeah, I think it was a commentary on Man of Steel, but the in-story reason is because of New York.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's broader than that. I think it's also just like these are who our heroes are. Is that, I mean, there's that moment where Hawkeye, who we've been set up being like, oh, he's totally going to die because we've seen all the signs of him saying goodbye to his wife and kids and all that stuff, right? But and he sees the kid trapped under the rubble and he's sitting in his safe, you know, little chair and he has a look on his face. He's like, oh, geez, I gotta go out there. Probably going to get me killed, but I can't leave that kid there.
Was very surprised they killed off Quicksilver. That surprised me. That seemed like a really good character with a lot of space to grow.
So here's the thing. Quicksilver is not really much of an Avenger. He's much more of an X-Men character. And Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are shared between the X-Men and Avengers franchises. And there was a Quicksilver in the latest X-Men movie, in fact. So in hindsight, I'm not surprised they killed him off. Because he's not really an Avengers kind of character. And Scarlet Witch is very much an Avengers character. So it sort of makes sense. Like, they don't really need him. They go together. They're a pair. They're brother and sister. They're the children of Magneto, except they can't say that in this movie because they don't own Magneto. That is a different studio that has Magneto. But that actually leads into something that I also wanted to point out, which is when I started to read comics, Avengers comics, in the 80s, the two leaders of the Avengers were not Iron Man and Captain America. They were the Vision and the Scarlet Witch. And so seeing Vision and the Scarlet Witch, and they even put a scene, because Joss Whedon is not that much older than me, he even put in a scene where Vision flies and saves her and like puts his arms around her and lifts her up into the air. And I thought, ooh, because they're married in the comics, at least in the 80s, they were married, Vision and the Scarlet Witch, and they were the power couple of the Avengers. And so it was fun to see those characters, because those are sort of like my Avengers are a little more like the Avengers we see at the end of the movie, where it's the Vision and the Scarlet Witch. In the mix. So that was a lot of fun, actually, to see those characters. And I thought Vision was really neat, because it's Paul Bettany, who's been the voice of Jarvis all along, and now he gets to be the android, with the red skin and the little mind gem, and he's floating around with his cape. And I thought that was kind of cool. And I like that plot twist, that Ultron's building his, evolved body to rule over the Earth, and they steal it and replace him with Jarvis and create the Vision. That was a lot of fun.
I liked that whole character creation. I liked all of that. I'm very interested in, like, what is next for the Avengers now? Because the movie kind of sets it up at the end, like, new Avengers. And it's like, whoa, but now I don't understand where, like, everybody fits. And I guess that's the next, like, 2 years worth of movies to tell me how that all works out. I was very happy with the movie overall. I really, really enjoyed it. I came away from it and had very good feelings about it. And
it was fun.
I enjoyed it a lot.
And my family was trying to see it this weekend, and they didn't make it, so I'm going to have to see it with them next weekend. And you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to watching it again.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And I do think, given where they're going, I think we're going to be in one of those situations where we're going to have a movie where the new Avengers are really involved, these new people we've been introduced to, and then there's going to be that moment where they have to kind of call in Tony Stark out of retirement to help solve whatever. I think some of that may go on, but it'll be fun. You can lose track of your characters when you have too many characters, and that's true, but also how long are all these actors going to be able to do these parts? So I think it's good to have some of those new characters in the mix, because like Robert Downey Jr. is not going to want to be Tony Stark, or at least be Tony Stark as Iron Man doing lots of stunts and stuff for a whole lot longer, you think. So good to have some other people who can come in and fly around and stuff.
You bet. So thumbs up from me.
Yeah. I liked it. And next week, we are going to talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
We are indeed.
Which you have not yet seen.
Which I have not yet seen. So that's something to look out for next week.
Awesome.